Now, let's return to the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, on TalkZone.com.
This is Bob Woodson again, and you're listening to the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why. We're talking about youth violence and how policies that may be well-intended to help children can still put children at peril. Our guests are Tori Barrett, founder of CLEO, and Omar Jawa of Vision Regeneration in Dallas, Texas. You know, this is so exciting. I've been involved with groups like yours all my adult life, which is substantial. But I never cease to be excited about what you're doing. And I guess if some of the listeners listening in would ask, well, if it's this exciting and this effective, then why isn't it broadly embraced by cities and school systems throughout this country? I know in Washington, D.C., where we've been involved for 13 years, we intervened some years ago to stop a warring faction in an area called Benning Terrace. And we were able to engage these young people in alternatives. But the new generation now is starting back to the same war, and we've had 7 shootings in 6 months. And instead of responding with the kind of programs that you all are articulating here, the response in Washington is with shot sensors on poles and video cameras in the community and all hands on deck, where the local police precinct comes out with all their police in a show of force. Well, the consequence of this, but no money for the 10 young men who've been volunteering for over 11 years, 3 and 4 times a week, to support football teams among the 7 to 16-year-olds. They're just operating on their own after work and on weekends. And yet, with these cameras at a cost of hundreds of thousands of dollars, people are being shot in front of the cameras, and it's not acting as a deterrent. And so I guess the challenge for us and you, and maybe you have some ideas about this, what do you think can be done to help market or convince officials that this kind of soft power approach that have been so successful in your two programs, why isn't it embraced on a larger scale?
Well, Bob, I can speak to that because I feel the same way you do. I think that three things, its uniqueness in that it uses people who are commonly seen as villains, as heroes. It's hard for people to believe Big Rick is a hero. I just know he is. You know, I just am convinced because I've seen them do heroic things. So it's just hard for people to digest. Your historical context, some people got old tapes playing of some of these guys. So when I give them the new tapes, it's just hard for them to accept that it has to be something else we're doing. And then number two, I think it challenges the conventional wisdom that says that social expertise comes with the amount of degrees you have. You know, and we say it comes with the amount of effectiveness you bring. And I think that just bothers people fundamentally. I just think folks say, he does not have a degree or she does not seem degreed. I love it when you told me, you said, Omar, find the old lady in the projects who grandbabies went to college while the rest of them went to prison and see what she doing. And I think that's just shocking. That's shocking. And then the third thing, man, I think it's a disrespect. And I don't think it's race more than class. I think people say in their minds, what good can come from that community? I think some people really say to themselves, these folks deserve that. I mean, I think you're right, man. The statement that you made earlier, if it was their kids, they would realize that those are babies that deserve the best, that these are not throwaway kids or throwaway humans, that these young people deserve the best. And I think folks just can't get passionate around the poor because they some way think they deserve their situation. And I don't fundamentally believe that.
How about you, Tori?
Well, I know for Cleo in particular, one of the ways that we've been able to get more exposure to our programs is working through our elected officials. And so we have an alderman in the area in the 20th Ward and another alderman in the 3rd Ward that, touts and always talks about the successful programs that Cleo's doing. But I think, Bob, what you're doing, like I said earlier in the call, on a national level is more important than what we're doing on a local level, because if you can continue to fight that battle with the U.S. Department of Education, and for us with the, the connections that we have with President Obama being in the White House now, if we could continue to get it on a national level, where it's part of the president's agenda and part of the U.S. Department of Education's agenda, then we'll see all the local communities fall suit. And so I think if we continue to push our elected officials to understand that there is a solution to the problems, you don't have to close these schools. You can bring in a violence-free zone and give it a chance. And I think if we continue to push that, then we'll see these successful programs starting to get the attention that they deserve.
Well, one of the strategies that we've employed, that someone says, well, how do you sell someone a puppy? You bring them into the store and put it in their arms.
Yeah.
Well, we have brought, we have set up tours that have taken public officials, police officials, to other cities to spend a day or two talking to kids and principals where we've got this violence prevention, violence-free zone program operative. And one police official from Richmond, Virginia, he said he came reluctantly because his chief ordered him to come. But once he had a chance to see the inspirational work being done by the youth advisors and the testimonies from the children, he said he came back. He was a law and order. If they break the law, lock them up. But he said he came back. It was a life-changing experience for him because he sees now kids who were headed to prison are now headed to college. Kids who were dispirited are now inspiring others to be lawful citizens. There was one young lady who I'll never forget. She's a 16-year-old, very petite Hispanic young woman who said at our press conference that I have been to the funerals of 10 of my friends in the past 2 years, and I used to fight all the time myself. But now my biggest fear is not dying or going to jail. My biggest fear is the disappointing Andre, my mentor.
Hmm.
In other words, Andre, by virtue of him being with her and available to her, has become a witness to her that transformation is possible. But she has become, and he has become, an accountability partner that youth advisors and those young people who are serving as moral mentors and character coaches also are a source of inspiration to people, and they're accountability partners. An accountability partner, according to Pastor Buster Sorries at his church, an accountability partner is someone that you would rather die than disappoint. And once you are able to establish these relationships with somebody, and what's different about this approach is that the youth advisors and programs like yours, Tori, and Omar, are available 24/7. And when someone says, oh, I'm a mentor to children, and usually these are people who come by after they've left the 18th hole, I asked them, do the kids know where you live? Do they have your home phone number? Do they have your cell phone number? If they are at school at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and they've got to walk 5 blocks and 10 members of the gangster disciples are waiting to jump on them, can they reach you? And if they can you do anything to help them? And it seems to me that there have to be these very concrete and specific examples that we must state that helps define legitimate helpers. I won't say that those who don't have that are illegitimate helpers, but I think the first line helpers, those who are on the battlefield, not those who are manning the supply lines behind us. We've got to look at it that way. How say you about that?
I think that's beautiful, man. I think that's beautifully said. And I think that's the truth. The last thing that we will do is deny help from anyone. But we won't, but we cannot excuse those emergency room doctors. You know, you can have great doctors who are good physicians. But at certain points, you need an emergency room doctor, somebody who know how to deal in triage, that know how to deal with immediate wounds, to keep us alive. See, it's just fundamental with us. It is, if we are successful, they live. If we are not, they die. So that's how serious it is. And when we stop taking it that serious, we give room to this type of watered down idea of mentoring, this watered down idea of helping our youth, that really is insulting, because, you know, at some point we gotta call it an emergency. You know, we can't act like it's normal. It's an emergency. And I think you said it very well, man, and that is not to disrespect any help, because I believe that everyone who helps has a good heart. But you know, sometimes a good heart ain't enough. You got to have good skills in order to do some of this work. And I think that what Bartori is doing, and Bob, really what you are doing nationally, keeping this idea alive, when other folks would rather you just be quiet and find a way to consult, and, you know, you can just chill. You don't have to keep shaking a can at this issue. I know that it's a bother to people, but I appreciate it, because it keeps the platform alive. And it makes us realize that we are not crazy out here. Because sometimes you can feel crazy doing this, because you don't have no help, but it seems like, except the one that's in the mirror.
Thank you. I want to thank you. We've run out of time. But I thank you so much, gentlemen, for your insight and your experience. Our guests have been Pastor Tory Barrett of the Clio Community Life Center in Chicago, Illinois, and Reverend Omar Jawa, founder and executive director of Vision Regeneration of Dallas, Texas. I'm Bob Woodson, president of the Center for Neighborhood Enterprise. Please join us again next week at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for more solutions to the problems facing our society. To listen to the show and to access past programs, go to www.cneonline.org and click on the radio icon. If you'd like to comment on the show or send us your story ideas, please email us at bwoodsonshow@cneonline.org. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you'll be with us each week on the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why.
You've been listening to the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, insights and solutions to some of America's most troubling societal problems, featuring community activist Robert L. Woodson Sr. To learn more, visit cneonline.org. And join us next time for more of the Bob Woodson Show, right here on TalkZone.com.